Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Is it working now? Krishna Krishna. It helps. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay. Wow. Shri Guru Nitai Gaur Giriraj Sitanath Premanandi Hudi Hudi Bo Bansha Kopaturu Bhyascha Bolo. Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Cha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Gauranga karuna koro ami dina hina jane. Gauranga karuna koro ami dina hina jane. Gauranga karuna koro ami dina hina jane. Mosamo patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane. Prabhu nahi tribhuvane. Mosamo patita prabhu nahi tribhuvane. Oh, Dande Chena Dori Gora Daki He Tomara. Dande Chena Dori Gora Daki He Tomara. Kripa Kori Esho Amma Hridaya Mandire. Kripa Kori Esho Amma Hridaya Mandire. kripa kori esho amar hridaya mandire. Gauranga karuna kora amitina hina jane Mosamo patita prabhu Jadidoya nakoribe patita dekia Oho patita dekia Jadidoya nakoribe patita dekia Patita pavana nama kishira lagia Oh, kishira lagia Patita pavana nama kishira lagia Oh, kishira Gauranga karuna kora Amitina hina jane Porichiba vatufane Nahika nishtara Oh, nahika nishtara Porichi bhavatu fane Nahika nishtara Oh, Charana tarani dane dashe koru para Charana tarani dane dashe koru para Gauranga karuna kora Amitina hina jane Mosamo patita prabhu Shri Krishna Chaitanya prabhu Dasiranu dasa Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasiranu dasa Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dasiranu dasa Prajana koro ye sada Narottama dasa Oh, Narottama dasa Prajana koro ye sada Narottama dasa Bolo! Gauranga Karuna Koro Amidina Hina Jane Mosamo Patita Prabhu Nahi Jibhuva.
A little louder, please.
Gauranga Karuna Koro Amidina Hina Jane Mosamo Patita Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Gora hey, Gora hey, Gora hey. Gora hai. Gora hai. Gora hai. Gora hai. Gora hai. Jai Nitai Gauranga Jayadvaita Prabhu. Nitai Gauranga Jayadvaita Prabhu. Jai Nitai Gauranga Jayadvaita Prabhu. Nitai Gauranga Jayadvaita Prabhu. Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo. Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo. Nitai Gaura Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo. Gaura Hare Bo. Nitai Gaura Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Hare Bo, Gaura Hare Bo. Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. J
Jai Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Shri Guru Nitai Gaur Giriraj Radha Gopinaju Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Srila Prabhupada Ke Sri Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ke Sri Prem Datta Nityananda Prabhu Ke Sri Prem Purushottam Sachinandana Gaura Hari Ke Sri Advaita Charya Avirbhav Tithi Mahamahotsava Ke Sri Advaita Charya Prabhu Ke Sri Sita Thakurani Ke Sri Nama Charya Haridas Thakur Ke Prem Sikaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ke Sri Vrindavan Dham Ke Sri Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ke Sri Purushottam Ketra Vipralamba Ketra Jagannath Puri Dham Ke Sri Madhujarasaganaiti Murti Mahabhav Prakash Jagannath Swami Ke Sri Jagannath Sri Baladev Sri Mati Subhadra Mai Sudarshan Ju Ke Sri Sri Radha Lalita Tota Gopinath Ju Ke Jai Jai Shri Radhe Jai Jai Shri Radhe Jai Jai Shri Radhe Graganya Gana Gocha Goloru Haram Goranga Guratama Gopya Rekopa Briksham Gopala Gada Ratidam Yati Singha Gora Govinda Deshikavaram Satatam Namami Gurave Guru Chandraya Radhikaya Tadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Tadbhaktaya Namo Namaha Uttama Adama Kichu Nabachila Jachiya Dileka Kola Kahe Premananda Hemona Gauranga Ridoya Dariya Bola Baja Gauranga, Kaha Gauranga, Laha Gaurangera Namare, Jejana Gauranga Baje, Sehoi Amara Pranare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Bolo, Hare Krishna. Yasya eva padambuja bhakti labhya prema bidana parama pumarta tasmai jagan mangala mangalaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Madgavir Api Gopala Srikuryat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pitva Risheyustat Priya Janaha Shri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Brajabalabha Pahimam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I'm feeling a little confused today because I'm going to try now to speak, I think, on 8 different topics that aren't exactly all connected together, but I feel some obligation to do so. We have to say something about where we're at. And then we had some topic in mind also. So it's going to be a little brief, for a lot of them. I think we'll be okay. So this area is known as Saptasan Road, the place of 7 asans, or the 7 temples. Why? According to the Skanda Purana, Maharaj Indrajumna, not our ISKCON Indrajumna Maharaj, but the original one, was once walking in this area, and he saw 7 really strange-looking guys, even stranger than the Hare Krishna people. Like one was standing on his head, except he was floating off the ground, and they were doing all these weird, strange things, you know, and he stopped, and he said, "Who are you guys?" And they said, "We're the Saptarishis. And we're staying here because we want to worship Lord Jagannath." Said, "Well, that's really cool." He said, "So I'm a king. How can I serve you?" And they said, "We don't need anything from you. Actually, if you want to give us something, please bring us some Jagannath Mahaprasad." And so this place became famous as Saptasan Road since then. And more recently, it's the place of Haridas Thakur's Samadhi, the place of Bhakti Kutir, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, the place of Jagadananda Pandit's deities of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari, the place of Srup Damodar Goswami's deities, Sri Sri Radha Damodar, the deities of Brahmananda Bharati, just behind me here, Sri Sri Radha Shamsundar, the deity of Krishna Balaram, just a little further down the road here, who are worshipped by Chota Haridas and Kunja Bhagavan, and the deities of Sri Sri Radha Madan Mohan that were worshipped by Raghunath Das Goswami. So many different places. These temples are very small. I remember once we came with Radhanath Maharaj, and this is in the early days when his yatra was really small and intimate. There was only 2,000 devotees. I'm not kidding. So we just came, and it would take, like, from the front of the group to the back of the group, it would take about half an hour for them to arrive someplace. So we just stood in the street and said, "This is this, and this is this, and let's go," like that. So you know something a little bit about this place, and we can meditate here. Especially, this is a place of Brahmananda Bharati. He had some dressing problem. He was wearing a deer skin, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't appreciate that, and he neglected seeing him. You may know that story. And Jagadananda Pandit across the street, he had a very sulky kind of nature with Mahaprabhu. Once he brought a very expensive chandan teal, or sandalwood oil, from West Bengal, to give to Mahaprabhu so he can rub on his body. And Mahaprabhu said, "What? He thinks I'm a Dari sannyasi? Some kind of guy who's going to use some aftershave cologne and all this kind of stuff? Well, I took sannyas. I didn't take sannyas to enjoy myself." No. You tell him he can offer. He told Jagadananda, Jagi, "You can offer this to Lord Jagannath and your effort will be successful." And Jagadananda said, "Offer what?" And he took the pot of oil and he threw it on the ground and broke it right in front of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's very sulky. And it's a long story. This happened here. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little afraid of Jagadananda Pandit. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which is currently our main ISKCON center here in Puri now, his place is there on the corner. It's Bhakti Kuti. And it's a very transcendental story we can understand from his autobiography, Swalikhi Jivani, that he was feeling transcendentally a little disappointed that he'd been preaching for so long But people weren't getting it. They weren't really understanding the bhakti part of things. Maybe they were getting some institutional kind of things, something mechanical, but they weren't really getting the essence of what he was saying. And so he became unhappy and decided, I'm just going to go and do my nirjam bhajan. We should be careful. We see in the lives of some of our greatest acharyas that when their institution, when their followers became very big, and then people started trying to use them like a device or something, making that their guru into an institution, then that spiritual master decided to leave this world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he came here, he was doing his bhajan in Puri, and one day he had a dream. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him, a vision, and Mahaprabhu told him, you should do your bhajan in front of Haridas Thakur's samadhi. And whatever bhajan you do there will be heard all over the world. And that echo is still going on today. And our kirtan, and so many kirtans going on all over the world. So it's a very special place, very important place for us. That's a few topics now out of the way. I think it was six topics in just about 2 minutes. That's pretty good. So now I would like, with the blessings of the Vaishnavas, to say a few words about Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is a very esoteric subject matter. And we heard this morning so nicely from Vaisheshika Prabhu about how Advaita Acharya, one aspect of him, is that he's Mahavishnu avatar. And he serves a particular function, a very, very important function as Mahavishnu avatar, because all the different avatars, they come through, as he gave a nice analogy this morning, they come through the doorway of Mahavishnu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was called by Advaita Acharya. Now there's another aspect of Advaita, which was also alluded to this morning, and I'd like to speak something more about that. We've done some research on these things, a very interesting subject. According to the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika by Kavi Karnapur, it said, Bhaktavatara Acharyo Dvaito Ya Sri Sada Shiva. That Advaita Acharya, he's non-different from Sada Shiva. So he's considered to be kind of a joint manifestation of both Sada Shiva and Mahavishnu. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, there's a story about one great devotee whose name was Kuvera Pandit. And Kuvera Pandit, he had gone to Mount Kailash and he was worshipping Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva became very pleased with him and said, you should ask for some ashirbad, some benediction. And Kuvera Pandit, he said, the benediction I would like, you should become my son. A very extraordinary request. So requested in that way, Lord Shiva is known as Mahadev, or the greatest of the devatas. He agreed, in my next appearance in the material world, I'll take the position of being your son. And so then he appeared as the son of Nabi Devi and Kuvera Pandit as Advaita Acharya, and it's a long discussion. So I would like to bring up a subject. It's a little hard for me to think when my head is banging with a gong. As we heard this morning, there's a purpose for Mahavishnu's coming as Advaita Acharya. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare. So there's a purpose for Advaita Acharya having this aspect of Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu calls a different, he brings the different avatars of the Lord. And our acharyas have also described a very esoteric purpose also for Sadashiva appearing as Advaita Acharya. You may ask a question. If you're a thoughtful person, you've already asked this question. How is it that Mahavishnu, who's a little stiff with rules and regulations and avatars, and he's kind of like the office feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's God when he's the boss in the office. And that's Mahavishnu. How is it that such a personality is so intimate that he calls the combined form of Radha and Krishna to come to this world? That's our first question. And does Sadashiva, as Advaita, does he have anything to do with that? This is the Antaranga Karan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And does he have anything to do with the Bahiranga Karan, the external reason? And I'd like to describe Sadashiva as Advaita Acharya has some purpose with both of these, as the internal and the external. Just very, very briefly, I found a very interesting thing. We've made several magazines now, too, of our Krishna Katamrita magazine about one of my favorite personalities, and that's Lord Shiva. I like Lord Shiva because he's really weird. He's a really strange guy. He goes around naked, and he has ashes on his body and bones, and he's very extraordinary. I see him as something like Nityananda Prabhu because he gives mercy. He's known as Bhutanath. He gives mercy to the ghosts and things like that. Well, that's pretty good. I'm a ghostly creature, so I should also get some mercy from him too. And he's Vaishnavanamita Shambhu. He's the best of all the different Vaishnavas. Okay, but still, how is it that he's going to call the combined form of Radha and Krishna? Now, when we were doing our research for our second magazine about Lord Shiva, I went and did some interviews with, I can't remember his name now, the Mahant at the Gopeshwar Mahadev Temple in Vrindavan. Very important place. All of our acharyas are worshipped there. There's some imprints in that Shiv Linga, which according to tradition, I think it's Sanatana Goswami says it actually in one place, that was made by the gopis after Krishna left Vrindavan. They were crying and they were holding on to that Gopeshwar Linga, and their fingerprints melted inside of that stone. So we found an interesting point that all the different major temples in Vrindavan, Radha Govindaji, Radha Gopinath, etc., they have a special procession going to the temple of Gopeshwar Mahadev today, on the day of Advaita Acharya's appearance. Why is that? And then we found in Balya Lila Sutra, one shastra about Gopeshwar Mahadev, Advaita Acharya, Gopeshwaranadi Shivena Sardham Sriman Mahavishnu Ananta Virya Premna Melidva Jagad Arti Hartun Labodara Kshira Nido Vivesha. Just as Vaisheshkabhu was mentioning this morning, this verse describes that Mahavishnu joined together with not just Sadashiva, but a particular aspect of Shiva, Gopeshwar Mahadev. And together they came together, Prema Minilitva Jagadarti Hartum, Jagadarti Hartum, to relieve the universe from its afflicted condition by giving Krishna Prem. Labodarakshira Nido Vivesha. And so they appeared in the milk ocean of Labadevi's womb, the wife of Kuvera Pandit. So Gopeshwar Mahadev is that chokidar. He's the guardian to the Ras Lila. And that's why when our acharyas, traditionally when they go to Vrindavan, the first place they go is to the Gopeshwar Mahadev temple. Do you please grant me entrance into the inner aspect of Vrindavan? Please grant me entrance into the Ras Lila with Radha and Krishna and the gopis. And so when Krishna wanted to taste Radharani's love, he also had to go to that chokidar, that guard, and get his permission. And so that's why Gopeshwar Mahadev has this connection with Advaita Acharya. Well, there's another point we'd like to also speak about with Advaita Acharya, and that is in connection with the external reason, external, internal, not very good phrases when we speak about the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they're all full of ecstasy. When we say the word external in English, it sounds like something material or not very good. But both are very good. Both are wonderful. Just one is an antaranga and the other is a bahiranga. One is an internal purpose. It's God's purpose. And the other is God's purpose for all of us. And the first is God's purpose for himself, and the second is God's purpose for everyone else. So the antaranga karan, Mahaprabhu's purpose in coming, was facilitated by Gopeshwar Mahadev through the medium of Advaita Acharya. Now, what about the bahiranga karan, or the Lord's purpose for all of us? There's a wonderful poet, if you like Bengali literature, if you like nice, wonderful Bengali poetry, you should read the poems of Ray Shekhar. He's, my God, his poetry is so beautiful, so very, very nice. He was living a little after the time of Mahaprabhu, and his poems are very famous amongst Gaudiya Vaishnava Bengali Padyavali songs. So he has a song which we printed, little advertisement here, in our Krishna Katamrita Bindu magazine. And I don't remember which issue it was. But he says something about Advaita Acharya. In this song, he speaks about, he says, Gauranga Rasera Nadi, Premera Taranga. There's a Rasera Nadi. Nadi means a river. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from him came this great river of rasa, of spiritual mellows, which is Premera Taranga. And the waves in that river were the waves of Krishna Prem. He says, Utaliya Yaichi Dhara Kabu Nahi Bhanga. And that river of Mahaprabhu's love, it never stops. And so then he goes on to describe in so many different ways the different aspects of that river. And in the third stanza, he sings, Shrota Bahi Jayatahe Shri Advaita Chandra Dubari Kandari Tahe Prabhu Nityananda Bolo Hare Krishna. Shrota Bahi Jayatahe Shri Advaita Chandra. That Advaita Acharya, he's the current of that river. That river of Gaura Rasa. That river of this, which is enacted by the Sankirtan movement. He's the current of that river. He has a very, very special place in that. So I'd like to read something to you, sing a few verses, from a description that we found some years ago in a book called Bhakti Ratnakara by Narahari Chakravarti, where he describes something about the appearance of Advaita Acharya, and he gives a very, I found very, very interesting, another purpose for Advaita Acharya's advent. He says that near, in West Bengal, near Srihat, was a village of Nabagram, which is where Kuvera Pandit, who was the son of Nrisingha Pandit, he was living. And he and his wife, Nabadevi, they moved to Shantipur on the bank of the Ganga. And he said they were always absorbed in talking about Krishna, doing Krishna kirtan. But one day, they had a very bad day. And what happened that day? Eka dine Sri Kuvera Nabara Sahite Vaishnavira Ninda Suni Chahaye Marite Bolo Hare Krishna. Ek dina Sri Kuvera Nabara Sahite. One day he and his wife, they had a very bad day. One day they heard someone criticizing a Vaishnav. I mean, today things are a little bit different, isn't it? How many days of the year do you pass without hearing criticism of a Vaishnav? If we can go for 365 days without hearing criticism of Vaishnav, we think we're doing pretty good. Every day, practically, we're hearing some criticism of the Vaishnavas. So they were very, very disturbed. And hearing that, they decided, what should we do? We've heard some criticism of a Vaishnav. Maybe they went to the wrong website, I don't know. But they decided, better that we die. It's such a serious thing. We don't want to hear criticism of the Vaishnavas. They may be good, they may be bad, they may be ugly. They may be in a different group than us. They may be Babaji's, they may be Gaudiya Mat devotees, they may be this or that. Anybody. But we don't want to hear criticism of any Vaishnavas. This is Krishna Charandas. He's the Mahant here. Hare Krishna. Give Vaisheshika Bhu and Satchadipa Bhu. These two brothers have been here for many, many years. They came here maybe 25, 30 years ago. And there were some mafia people who had taken over the temple of Radhagiridhari. And they were fighting with those people through the courts and things, very hard to get the place back for the Vaishnavas. Harivo. By the way, a little bit of interesting etiquette. You may see sometimes in a Vaishnav Sangha in India, especially in Orissa, when someone goes and gives a garland to the speaker or a senior devotee, you ever seen that everybody offers obeisances at that time? And you may think, well, they're just a little fanatical. But no, there's actually a nice cultural mentality behind that. And the idea is that I'm also offering that garland. And everybody in the Sangha, they're feeling like that. It's a very, very beautiful thing. I also want to offer that garland to that person. So then later, Giriraj Maharaj and Indrajumna Maharaj, Bibi Govinda Maharaj, they came here. And with their kind donations, Haribo, they renovated this temple of Radhagiridhari across the street, and also this temple here of Radhashyamsundar, and now they're making a skyscraper temple, something, for the devotees. Every year, Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj, during his Sri Ketra Parikrama, we come here and we have katas, usually upstairs, with the Western devotees. So they've been doing a very nice service for the devotees here, and they're so kind, they just let us come. They're not charging us anything to come here and do this. We're very fortunate. So Kuvera Pandit and his wife, they heard someone doing some Vaishnava aparad. And so they decided we should kill ourselves. We should commit suicide. Because Vaishnava aparad is such a terrible, terrible thing. And that night, they had a dream. And in the dream, they saw a very effulgent, handsome man who had golden complexion. And he was holding the hands of another man. Two men in the dream. One was golden, very beautiful. And there's another man. And the golden complexion man was holding the hands of the other man. And he told him, Kali hatta jivir e dukkha nivarite Shigra avatirna tumi hao priti viti Bolo Hare Krishna. He says that to relieve the people, this golden complexion man said, to relieve the suffering of the people of this world, you should very quickly descend to the earth. You go there. And then he told him, Tumi akashile ami rahite nariba agrajera sahan tigra prakata haiba bolo Hare Krishna. He said that you go there, you go there to relieve the suffering of the people in this world. And then he said, Tumi akarshili. Akarshili means to attract. You're going to attract me. You're going to bring me there along with Agrajera, along with my older brother. So you go ahead and you call the two of us. So when that second person heard the words of that golden complexion person, he became very, very ecstatic. And he started jumping up and down in the dream of Kavera Pandit. And he was shouting, Hariro! 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 Can we try that again? Hariro! 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 So then at an auspicious moment, that second man entered the womb of Nabadevi. And in his dream, this Brahmin, Kuvera, he saw all this and he became really, really ecstatic. And when his dream broke, suddenly he jumped out of bed and he started jumping up and down and shouting, Hariro, 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 Hariro! And his wife, what's happened to you? You don't know what dream I saw? Such a wonderful thing. He said that manifesting the form of a guru, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is going to manifest in this world. And from that day forward, Nabadevi became pregnant. So there's another section in Bhakti Ratnakar which gives another similar, I think, kind of purport, which we'll explain the purport at the end. There was once a Brahmin who was useless, worthless Brahmin, who lived in Mathura. And he had a habit. His habit was to go around and criticize all the Vaishnavas and find fault with everyone. And he was a very big pundit, very big scholar, and a very wicked person. So one day, Advaitacharya came before him. And Advaitacharya was so angry. Why? Because Advaitacharya is a manifestation of Sadashiva. One of his nicknames is Rudra. He gets really, he has a temper problem. He destroys the whole universe when he gets angry. He's like the personification of the Lord's anger. So Advaitacharya came before him and his eyes were bright red and his lip was trembling. And he said, listen, wicked person, today you're not going to be free from me. I'm going to cut off your head with this chakra. And suddenly, Advaitacharya manifested a forearm form and he had a Sudarshan chakra there. So when that Brahmin saw that, he had an attitude readjustment. When he saw that, he became very, very frightened. And he started shaking in fear. And then he bowed his head and folded his hands and he said, Koraye akariya kahoye bada bada Je uchita danda prabhu koroho amara Bolo! Hare Krishna! This is a very good thing. This is a very good thing for Gita Priya to understand. Is your mother an angry person sometimes? Yes? I know. My parents were like that also. So this is what you do. And when they get really angry, you just bow your head and fold your hands and you say, okay, punish me. And that's what that Brahmin did. He didn't try to say, no, 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 it's not my fault, actually, you know, this thing. No, he just accepted. And the Bhaktivedanta says that he told Advaitacharya, Du sangha prayukta mora, buri nasha hoila, na jani vaishnava tattva aparada koila. He said, because of bad association, du sangha, I started associating with wicked persons. And who were those wicked persons? It's not mentioned. Where were they living? They were living in Mathura. We can understand from that that it means almost certainly they were at least cultured Hindus. And maybe even possibly people who were chanting the names of the Lord and practicing some kind of Vaishnav Dharma, because it's very common in Mathura, almost all the Brahmins, they're doing like that. But they were bad association. So we have to be very, very careful who we associate with. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a series of articles which were later published by Bhakti Pragyan Kesava Maharaj, a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And they called those Bhakti Tattva Vivek, which are, they published in their Bengali magazine. And Bhaktivinoda, in the beginning of those articles, he says that it's better to associate with an atheist than a devotee who's doing Vaishnava Aparad. Because if you go around an atheist, you know this guy's bad news. And you don't want to see his face and you're not going to listen to him, right? But if somebody seems like a devotee, they've got tilak on and kunti mala, they've got a japa bag and things, and they start telling you, I know we shouldn't say anything bad about him, but But did you hear what they were saying about that Maharaj? It's such a terror. Even the cows are upset at hearing this kind of thing. No, don't say that, please. Did you hear? Sometimes, I know we shouldn't criticize anyone, but did you hear what they said? That's why God created wristwatches. So you look at, oh, I'm really sorry, but I have to go. Excuse me. And you run away from that place as quickly as you can. So, this Brahman, he said, because of bad association, mora buddhi nasha hoila. I lost my buddhi nash. I lost my good intelligence. Na jani Vaishnava tattva. Because I don't understand what is Vaishnava tattva. The Vaishnavas are the manifestation of the Lord. They're Krishna Kripa Srimurti. They're here as the conduit which carries the electricity of the Lord's mercy. And all of you, whether you're a big Vaishnava or a small Vaishnava, you're also that Krishna Kripa Srimurti, because you're carrying that electricity in the form of trying to help the conditioned souls. So it's a very terrible thing to commit offenses to them. And he told them, Kainu aparada jatta sankhya naitar mohena pasandi prabhu karara udaran. He said, my Lord, this is really good for you to remember Gita Priya. When your mother gets angry, to say, okay, I'm guilty. I committed a big offense. I'm very sorry. But you be kind to me. And you correct me. And you deliver me. And he began crying helplessly. And Advaita Acharya told him, the aparads, the offenses that you committed, you're going to have to go to hell and suffer for that. Abhijay kahitaha koro sabahite apanake saparada hoya sarakshana. You should admit your guilt. And he said, okay, sarvatyaga kori koro Nama Sankirtan Pranapana Kori Santoshiba Vaishnavera. You should do two things, or three things, he says here. You should give up all your different sense gratification, all your different sense pleasures. Don't be selfish. And you should just do Nam Sankirtan. And the second thing, you should serve with your heart and soul all the Vaishnavas. And if you do that, then you may be delivered. And then Advaita Acharya left that place to go on Tirthayatra. And that Brahman, he followed the instructions of Advaita Acharya, and he became absorbed in Nam Sankirtan. And he would visit all the different houses in Mathura. Maybe he was distributing books also, I don't know about that. But he was going there with Dante Trina, with some straw in his teeth and tears in his eyes. And he would just go before them. And in this way, he would beg forgiveness from everyone in Mathura. And when the Vaishnavas saw how sincere he was, they became very satisfied. And he got the anugraha, not just the kshama. There's two things Jiva Goswami says are required if you do Vaishnava aparad. You may offend Madhuripur Prabhu. But, and you go to him, oh Prabhuji, I'm really sorry. I said this thing about you eating prasadam in the bathroom. Please forgive me for that. And he's such a kind Vaishnav. He may say, no problem. It's okay. And I may get his kshama. But unless I also get the anugraha, to get the forgiveness is not enough. And we see that Daksha, he got the forgiveness of Lord Shiva. But still, even though Lord Shiva forgave him, he lost his head, literally, after that, and got the head of a goat. And then in his next life, he was a Brahmin before that. His next life, he took birth as a Kshatriya. And again, he had some problem. He had his sons of Hariyasvas and the... what is it? Hariyasvas? There's two sets of sons. You remember the other one? How do you say it? Shalyasvas and the Hariyasvas. And they were doing what their father told them. And then one day, one Sankirtan devotee, whose name was Narad Muni, came there and started preaching to them that you guys should join the Hare Krishna movement, become brahmacharis. And they said, yeah, that's a good idea. And so their father became really upset about it, and he cursed Narad Muni. And Jiva Goswami, in Bhakti Sandarbha, he says that that was an Vaishnava aparad, very big Vaishnava aparad. And the result, the reason why he committed that offense was because in his previous life, it was a leftover from his offense to Lord Shiva. But he got Lord Shiva's forgiveness. But Jiva Goswami says getting the kshama, the forgiveness, is not enough. You also have to get the anugraha. And we can give an example. I may borrow $1,000 from Ananda Murari Prabhu. He's a very generous person. And I'll tell him anyway, I'll repay you in 1 week. And after a week, he's looking around and he can't find me anywhere. And 3 or 4 weeks later, I show up and he says, Prabhuji, I really need that money. Can you give me the money? And I say, oh, Prabhu, I'm really sorry. But I lost it. I blew it. And I don't have the money. Will you please forgive me? Now, he may forgive me. I don't know. He's very kind. He may forgive. But he's not fully satisfied. He's not going to be fully satisfied. He's going to say, look, that money was for book distribution. That money was for preaching. And you've lost it. He may forgive, but he's not fully satisfied. And he won't be satisfied unless I give him the money back. So although Daksha got the forgiveness of Lord Shiva, it wasn't enough. He had to do something else. He had to get the anugraha. Jiva Goswami says he had to please Lord Shiva. And Jiva Goswami, he quotes a nice verse which also appears in Hari Bhakti Vilas that describes that the way to please the Vaishnavas, to get their anugraha, is to chant the holy names of Krishna. So these are some thoughts about another purpose of Advaita Acharya. As Gopeshwar Mahadev, as Sadashiva, he came for one purpose, an internal purpose, to help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, help Krishna, taste the mood of Radharani. It was an internal purpose. And as the current in the river of Gora Rasa, he also had a purpose in Mahaprabhu's Nam Sankirtan movement. Because he's Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu, he's the boss of all the Vaishnavas. So he came particularly because Kuvera Pandit and his wife wanted to commit suicide because they heard some Vaishnava aparad. This is the external reason for his purpose in coming, was to stop Vaishnava aparad. So on this day, we can pray to Advaita Acharya that you please be kind to me, you please manifest in your, by your mercy of Mahavishnu. You please manifest Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by your mercy as Sadashiva, as Gopeshwar Mahadev, let me understand something about this very esoteric tattva of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, how Radha and Krishna have become one is Mahaprabhu. And also, you please be kind to me and help me in my Nam Bhajan. And you kill these demons in my heart, this demoniac propensity to criticize the Vaishnavas. Okay, so we finished another subject. Shidwaita Charya Prabhu Ki. So maybe I'll just stop for about 2 minutes. Okay? Does anybody have any reflections on this, on any of the subjects we just spoke about before I continue with another topic? Nagasimbu. Is there a microphone?
I want to ask a question about Vaishnava Aparad. Just like sometimes when I'm about to chant my japa, I think, right now, I'm going to chant this round, and I'm not going to let my mind wander. The entire round, I'm going to be completely attentive. I'm not going to let my mind wander at all. And I've come to realize that that's an unrealistic expectation. That I kind of have to understand that, you know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever the mind wanders, it will wander, that I have to bring it back under control of the self. And I found that to be much more effective in my japa. So similarly, I'm a little concerned that, you know, it seems like it's, in one sense, because we're conditioned, at least some of us are conditioned souls, that have a tendency to be offensive. In fact, isn't that why we're here in the material world, is because we're offensive. So, therefore, it seems to me inevitable that I will commit offenses. And therefore, it's a scary topic, Vaishnava Aparad, because we're in the process of purifying ourselves. But within that process, if we make a mistake, then we get kicked out from the process. We're trying to purify ourselves from being an offensive being, but then... By committing offenses in that process, we get removed from that process. At least, I'd like you to clarify that, if you could.
But our acharyas have described it, svapamapyasya dharma shachayate mahatobayat, that this practice of bhakti, it's never lost. Now, how do we understand that when we hear that if someone commits Vaishnava aparad, they'll lose their bhakti? Jiva Goswami explains that point. It can't be lost, but you'll be separated from it. Maybe for many, many years. The benefit's always going to be there, but it may take a long, long time for us to connect with that again. I think personally, even a bigger fear than myself criticizing is hearing criticism from other people. Maybe I can, it's difficult to control myself, but it's much more difficult to try to control everybody else around me. So that's why wristwatches, or at least that concept, are a very good thing. And we don't need to argue with someone or try to correct them or anything, but we should get away from them. And as just as a side note, we should be careful. Sometimes devotees, they may say, well, Gurudev, he's criticizing the Vaishnavas. I heard him say something harsh about some devotee. Or Prabhupada, someone may even think that Prabhupada was doing like that because he spoke in a harsh way. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Sajjana Toshani, in one article about Vaishnava Aparad, he said that, be very careful, don't do that. He said that Gurudev may speak sometimes in such a way, and he can do that, just as a parent can chastise a child. It's not that when Mother Malini starts chastising Gita Priya, that Gita Priya can turn and say, you're an offender. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to chastise me. You can't do that, Gita Priya. You don't have a right. She has a right, as your mother, to chastise you. And she's not necessarily being offensive. But we also see sometimes some parents, they are being offensive with their children. Where do you draw the line? Ashradhadane vimukhe prashin viti is chopadesha siva nama paradha. The seventh offense of the holy name described in Padma Purana is to preach to someone who doesn't have faith in us. So we should, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains us that we should have a proper motivation. If Gurudev has a good motivation, he may, to help other people, chastise someone. But he doesn't have any malice to that person. He doesn't hate them. But he's speaking in such a way that other people will see this is a very bad thing. My Guru Maharaj, people were afraid sometimes to attend his class. He would speak very strongly Sometimes they would come to class and they would hide in the back behind a pillar or something. And he would, I don't even want to repeat some of the things he would say. A little, one of the mild things he would say. I remember two of my godbrothers, he pointed and says, such and such and such and such, sleeping in the same bed and passing urine together. He would say like that. And eating stool, he liked to also say, that was another mild thing that he would say, such and such devotees eating stool. And then sometimes he would make a comment later on. He said, it's not that I'm angry with you, but I'm saying this, I'm using you as an example for everyone else. And really, from my perspective, I didn't ever see in his heart the slightest bit of anger or resentment to anyone, although it looked like it in the class, but he was speaking for the benefit of some other devotee. So we should be careful. The Vaishnavas may do like that. And we don't have a right to imitate that. Just as we reject Mayavad philosophy, it's not good to try to be God. So acharya mam vijanayan navam nanyeta karichit. One aspect of God is Gurudev. So it's not good to imitate God. It's also not good to imitate Guru. And Gurudev, he has the right. He has an obligation. Just like Gita Priya's mother has an obligation to chastise Gita Priya. That's her job. She's supposed to do that. So Gurudev has an obligation to chastise a disciple. I don't have that right. He has a right to do that. And why does he have a right? Because the devotee accepted him. Because he has faith in him. Now sometimes I've seen with Vaishnavas, if the devotee doesn't have faith in him, even in their own Gurudev, then Gurudev may say, anyway, you can do what you like. It's okay. You want to get married, leave brahmachari life. Yes, you should do that. Very good. And I saw one devotee like this. He came out of the hut, out of our Guru Maharaj's room, very happy. Gurudev told me I should get married. Very good day. And I thought, oh, sadhu sabadan, be careful. Was that Gurudev's desire? Or was that your desire? So as Advaitacharya told this Brahmin, this rascal Brahmin, you should admit your fault and just be humble and be ready to accept your chastisement. So we should be ready to accept the chastisement of Gurudev. And we should be very, very careful. It's not that Vaishnava Aparad is going to destroy us and you're going to disintegrate into a pile of ashes all of a sudden if you do some Aparad to someone. And even it's not that your bhakti is necessarily completely finished, but you should take it very, very seriously. Like we see this Brahmin in the story. He went to every house in Mathura, and he stood there and he cried and he begged forgiveness. And similarly, one of my namesakes is Madhavananda, who used to be known as Madai. That's like me. And when he was initiated, he became known as Madhavananda, and he made a Madai Ghat in Mayapur. And all the Vaishnavas, everyone who would come there, he would fall at their feet and beg them forgiveness. Even people he didn't know, people he'd never seen before, he begged forgiveness from everyone. So we should think like that. Sorry, it was a long answer to that. Prabhuji? I'm watching the time. Should let you know. Don't worry.
Not so long ago in Denver, we were... This topic of criticism and you know that maybe the spiritual master will do, or and then Vaishnava Aparad came up, and something that came out was that the intention of one's heart becomes manifest in the results of such criticism. So like when Srila Prabhupada would so-called criticize the Mayavadis or criticize different personalities in his lectures, what was the result? So if one's trying to understand, like, is this Vaishnava Aparad? Is this a criticism? One can see by the results of that so-called criticism and see if that malintent from the heart becomes manifest externally.
Some people, they say that because Srila Prabhupada chastised people and because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta chastised people, therefore in our preaching we should all take a stick and we should go. And anyone who has a wrong idea, we should poke them in the eye and beat them on the head. And that's preaching. But although Srila Prabhupada sometimes, he spoke in such a strong way, you can think of a few examples. I'll give you two examples here right now. Sumati Maharaji, who paid for Prabhupada's travel to come to the West, God bless her, we owe her a great debt. At one point, the devotees wrote an article in BTG, and they were criticizing Vallabhacharya. And she's a follower of Vallabhacharya. She's in that line. So she became very upset, and she protested to Prabhupada. Now, actually, what the devotees wrote in the BTG wasn't bad. They were just quoting Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Prabhupada, when he spoke to Sumati Maharaji, he said, anyway, they're young people, they don't know, they're just fools, and you shouldn't, you know, be so brash and speak in such a way. That's the way he spoke to her. Another example, what was his name? Oh, the devotees will probably remember someone. In New York City, when Prabhupada was associating with this yogi, this Mayavadi, Dr. Misha, right? Yeah. So as Dr. Misha, Prabhupada was staying with him, and the guy was speaking all this nonsense Mayavad. And Prabhupada was cooking for him, and Prabhupada was having a very affectionate relationship. And Prabhupada didn't openly chastise him or challenge him. And later on, Jamuna remembers, Prabhupada's disciple Jamuna, that when Dr. Misha came to London, Srila Prabhupada greeted him like an old friend and embraced him, and they sat down and had prasadam together. So there's a great problem if we try to imitate Gurudev, if we try to imitate Srila Prabhupada or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta without having their depth of realization. Sometimes we should speak in a very harsh way and we should cut. And that's required for Gurudev, that's required for parents, that's required maybe for the Sankirtan leader. Sometimes to chastise the devotees and push them, give them some encouragement, if they have the qualification that the person that they're speaking to has faith in them. And that faith will come when they see that I love you. You can listen to your mother, Gita Priya, because you know she loves you, right? Mm-hmm. She may chastise you and call you a rascal and this and that and the other, and you might be a rascal too. Mm-hmm. But you can accept it from her, because she loves you. And then you become bettered from that. Okay, Mataji.
Thank you so much. My question is, could you clarify what Vaishnava aparadha actually constitutes? Because often, I mean, I can hear now, and you gave the example of Srila Prabhupada, that it's very much about the consciousness by which someone is speaking, but we hear often, well, this is aparadha, or this is aparadha, but what truly is Vaishnava?
It's a subtle thing, and that's why she's asking the question. It's not that gee whiz, haven't you read any of the books yet, or haven't you been around or something? It's a subtle thing, and sometimes it's difficult to understand. Srila Prabhupada, how he's behaving and yelling and shouting at someone, one big sabha, Prabhupada picked up a pair of kartals to attack one Mayavadi who was pushing the devotees. So that looks like a big offense on his part. But Prabhupada wasn't committing an offense. So these kind of things require some maturity. And just like a child may not be able to understand why my parents are chastising me, but an adult person can do so. So if we're neophyte devotees, and certainly I am, I don't have the qualification to run around and chastise everybody and self-appoint myself as the judge of other devotees when they don't have faith in me. But if someone has faith in me, just like we have this sabha, this sangha right here today, and I have a duty as a speaker to chastise the devotees on some level, but it doesn't mean I can point my finger at somebody and start calling them a rascal if that person doesn't have faith in me. But I have an obligation to fulfill this responsibility that my guru has given me and our guru janas have given to speak the truth. But it requires some maturity. So I don't recall the shloka. Maybe Vaisheshika remembers. I think it's quoted in Bhakti Sundarbha, maybe Hari Bhakti Vilas also, six different types of Vaishnava Aparad. Yeah, my grandmas used to always quote this verse, I should know this. And I don't remember even what all the six types are. I just remember a few of them. One is to kill a Vaishnav. That's an offense. Don't kill Vaishnavas, okay? It's also an offense to attack a Vaishnav. It's also an offense to criticize a Vaishnav. I don't remember all of them. But another one is, I remember four. And the fourth one is to not be happy when you see a Vaishnav. We should be so happy. They may have so many stupid ideas. They may even have bad habits. They do this and that, and we don't agree with them. And maybe we don't even want to take the prasadam that they cook because they're not chanting all their rounds or they have problems. But I'm so happy. There's so few Vaishnavas. I like to give this analogy. If we went to San Francisco or New York and we put up a big sign, the sign said, free beer, right? How many people will come? You'll fill up the Golden Gate Stadium, right? 100,000 people will come. Now, if you go to the same corner and you put up a sign that says, free love of God, how many people will come? Maybe five. If Gita Priya is standing there, I think. If I'm there, probably nobody will come. Mm-hmm. So, we should understand most people, they're not interested in that kind of thing. They're not interested in Krishna consciousness. So Vaishnavas, devotees, are very, very special. They're very, very special. And even they may be Sakama Bhaktas. Apichet Sudharacharo, Bhajate Mamananya Bhaksadareva Samantavya Samyaghi Vasito Isa. Our Fakir Mahabhu spoke for about 3 months in this one verse. And he explained that someone may be a Durachari sadhu, means they're not following principles properly, but they're a sadhu. Sadhar eva samantavya. Krishna says very emphatically, why? Because they're doing ananyata bhajan, pure bhajan. Well, let me see, show your hands. How many of you are doing pure bhajan? Raise your hand. But you don't think you're doing pure bhajan. But according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, I think probably at least 90% of you, maybe hopefully I think all of you, are doing pure bhajan. He gives another kind of definition. Sometimes Prabhupada said, all my disciples are pure devotees. Well, that's kind of hard to figure out, isn't it? When some of them left and some of them did so many sinful activities and so many abominable things. How can we understand? Was Prabhupada just encouraging him? No, Prabhupada was serious. Prabhupada was saying it. They are pure devotees, or they were at one point. Why and how? Vishwanath explains in his commentary in this verse that because they're not worshiping the demigods, they're not taking shelter of karma again or of yoga, they have faith in bhakti. And they may have material desires, they may not be following all the principles even properly, but still, they have faith in Krishna. And they're not taking shelter in anything else. So that person's a sadhu. And if we see such a person and we don't feel happy when we see them, that's an offense. We should be happy. My God, there's so many. When I used to sell books in LAX, it was very, very, Vaisheshika Prabhu could tell us so many stories, I'm sure. We used to have this problem, the born-again Christians would try to disrupt our book distribution. And they would come to you with this kind of, you could always tell them right away, they had this kind of stupid smile on their face. You know, and they walk up to you and they say, you know, something like, have you heard of Jesus? Or something. And after some time, we used to make jokes with them, you know, and we'd say, no, I've never heard of Jesus. You've never heard of Jesus? And they say, oh, you mean Jesus? I love Jesus. I love Swiss cheese and mozzarella cheese and... That wasn't really such a cool thing to do. After some time, I developed a much better technique with them. When they would come up to you, and they always have this kind of stupid smile on their face, and they're always nervous because they think you're a cult member, and they're afraid of you. So they would stand a little ways away, and they'd come up, and they'd say, have you heard? You know, like, and immediately, I would look at them, and I would smile from my heart. I'd say, hey, are you a Christian?
And they would always do the same thing, and they would take one or two steps back. Like, oh, the guys are going to do some judo on me or something now. And then they would say, well, yeah. And I would grab them by both their arms, and I'd say, I'm so happy to see you. You know, I've been out here all day. I've met so many atheists, so many rascal people. It's so good to meet a man of God. I'm just so happy. And you can't give them a book or prasadam or something. They'll do something terrible. But I used to keep some flowers in my pocket. And I was like, let me give you this. And I give them a prasadam rose or something. And then the same thing happened every time I did that. They would get kind of like something short-circuited in their brain. Huh? And they just turn around and walk away. And it was great. I didn't waste any time. And I was really happy and inspired. I had a loving exchange with the person. And I genuinely expressed some appreciation for them. It's so nice to meet a man of God out here. Someone who's brave enough and bold enough to walk up to a Hare Krishna devotee and try to challenge them about their concept of God. So we, somewhere in our heart, we should be happy when we see the devotees. And if we're not happy, there's something wrong. Satyadev Prabhu?
Yeah, I think the essence, the answer to your question is, which you just alluded to, it's really the condition of our heart. If we have a feeling of ill will or dislike or envy towards a devotee, but even it even can affect our chanting at the level of how we treat other living entities, because in the Madhurya Kadambini by Srila Viswanatha Chakravarti, he says that there are four sources of offenses that cloud our perception of the holy name. And he says Vaishnava Aparad. He mentions Vaishnava Aparad specifically, and then he says Nam Aparad, and he says Aparad and deity worship, but he also says Aparad towards other living entities. So that also has, you know, our condition of our heart, when we're envious or we have dislike towards someone, it actually reinforces our bondage of illusion. Yeah, it dampens our ability to not only perceive Krishna, but even to perceive our own self. So it's like a cloud. So we have to be present enough to notice how our heart is feeling, and that will be like a little red flag, and like a warning that you're not living in truth, and that you should pay attention to this and then correct yourself. But I just wanted to say other thing in relationship with your question. You said, how do we know what is Vaishnava Aparad? We also have to know what is a Vaishnav, right? And so there's the devotees of Kalingagram. They were getting instruction from Mahaprabhu before they were going back to their village after the Rath Yatra. And Mahaprabhu gave them the instruction. He gave them two instructions: to chant the holy name and to serve the Vaishnavs. And so then they asked the question to Mahaprabhu, well, you want us to serve Vaishnavs. How do we know what is a Vaishnav? And then Lord Chaitanya explained to them what is a Vaishnav. And for that, I would like Vaisheshika Prabhu to explain Lord Chaitanya's explanation of a Vaishnav, because he remembers it better than I do.
He said, well, if I hear one time Hare Krishna, Krishna Nam. If you hear Krishna Nam come from the person's mouth, he says, Shreshta Shabakar, then out of all the people, this person is worshipable. He's considered to be the best of all people, if someone can say Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So we can understand that. Thank you, Maharaj. We can understand that when someone has some appreciation for Krishna, of course, to say the holy name of Krishna, what, especially if someone's saying the holy name of Krishna with faith, who's chanting technically what's called Shraddha Nam Bas, maybe they're not chanting purely, but they're trying to chant purely, and they're chanting with faith, that means they have some appreciation for Krishna. And if we have appreciation for Krishna, then we have appreciation for those who appreciate Krishna. That's why Krishna says in the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita in verse 30, what is it?
Apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha.
Thank you. Krishna is making that point that anyone who approaches me, you know, apichate sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak, even if they're someone's worshipping me but they're full of faults, they're very special because they're approaching me. So if we appreciate Krishna, then we'll at least appreciate someone who has faith in Krishna and who is trying to worship Krishna, even if they're full of parts, full of faults, and that should be our focus. And today, not to go on too long, but I couldn't help but notice at the Guru Puja, Prabhupada's garland was on Prabhupada's picture. Did you see that? And at first, there were no living entities there, but suddenly I saw one bee. And this bee was just having a feast. And then a few more bees came. I didn't see any flies. Not one. The flies were on me. But they weren't on the garland. And there were no bees on me. You know, the flies are attracted to... Actually, what they're attracted to is... Constantly, the cells on our skin are replacing themselves. And the old skin cells are decomposing. And when those cells decompose, there's a certain aroma that goes out, a kind of ammonia smell. It's a stinky smell. And that's what the flies are attracted to. They can't help it, right? And the bees, they're not attracted to that smell. They're attracted to the nectar. So we have to cultivate that. And that was, you can have that prayer, you know, to Haridasa Thakur or to Advaita Acharya, or to Lord Nityananda. First, we have to admit when we notice that we're attracted to unsavory things, like the fault, some supposed fault in someone else. When our ear perks up, oh, I'd like to hear more about that fault. Even that, we can have compassion for ourselves. For I wanted to say that to Naga Kirtan Prabhu, that even the tendency we have to find fault with ourself is not coming from ourself. It's actually coming from our false ego, from the person that we imagine ourselves to be, that wants to be the best devotee, that's full of fear at the base. Because when we forget Krishna and we forget who we are, and we imagine ourselves to be something other than what we truly are as part of Krishna, we don't know our value, and the false ego is always looking for it, and it's in a state of fear. It's actually afraid that it's not good enough. That's why it's attracted to hearing the faults of others, because it gives it a slight relief from the fear. And so, you know, in that case, the false ego is like the fly attracted to the stool. But the Atma, the real self, really is attracted to the glories of the Lord and attracted to all living beings that are part and parcel of the Lord. So we have to be in touch with our heart enough to notice that feeling, that little red flag that goes up when we notice there's some envy there or there's some enjoyment hearing about the fault of someone else. And we can have compassion for the false ego that is just lost and doesn't know the real, we don't know our real value. And once we know that, then that tendency will disappear.
Please take a 7-minute break. Come back here at 3 minutes to 11 o'clock.
Beautiful items that you can get and take with you, some wonderful prasadam, and we'll say something about that in a few minutes. But I'd like to say something, a very, very special topic, very close to our heart. Please sit down. We'd like to say something about Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So I'd like to request everybody to please repeat after me, and we can recite a very wonderful prayer to Haridas Thakur. This is a prayer that they recite at Haridas, at Siddha Bakul. Please repeat. Chatur Muko Jagatkarta Chaturveda Parayana Haridasa Kolojata Brahmanam Twam Namamyaham. I offer my obeisances to Lord Brahma, who is a four-headed creator of the material universe, the knower of the four Vedas, and who took birth as Haridas Thakur in Kali Yuga. Switch things. So, in the Anchalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita in chapter 11, there's a description of the disappearance of Haridas Thakur. It's a very big subject, and it would take us a long time, but I'm just going to touch on a few of the points, and I'd like to elaborate more on the relevance of this for all of us, because this is also a classroom in the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem, for which we're all enrolled as students right now. And it's described there. Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was regularly sending Mahaprasad to Haridas Thakur through his servant Govinda. And one day Govinda, he went there and Haridas wouldn't take. He said, I'm feeling sick. And when Mahaprabhu heard about that, he came there and he said, Haridas, what's wrong? And Haridas said, I'm not able to finish the chanting of my rounds. And Mahaprabhu said, anyway, you don't have to worry about that. You're very old now. It's okay. And Haridas said, well, there's another thing that's bothering me. We have this wonderful relationship, and it's the most amazing thing in my life, but I have this fear in my heart that you're going to leave this world before I do. So if you want to give me some blessing, then please, you bless me that I'll leave this world before you. And so when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard like that, he called for all the devotees, and all the devotees began doing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And it's described there that Vikeshwar Pandit, he was the chief dancer in that assembly. And the chief singer was Srup Damodar Goswami. And all the devotees of Mahaprabhu, they were surrounding Haridas Thakur and doing this kirtan. Present there also was Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that Haridas here, Guna Prabhu Lagila Kahite, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then he began to speak to all the devotees about the glories of Haridas Thakur. Haridasir guna kahite prabhu haila panchamukha. And it seemed like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had panchamukha, like five mouths. He was just glorifying and glorifying Haridas Thakur. Kahite kahite prabhur bhari mahasukha. And as the more that he spoke, the more happiness that he got. There's no happiness in criticizing the Vaishnavas. But when you speak about the glories of the Vaishnavas, there is so much happiness. And this is our solution. This is our antidote to Vaishnava aparad, is to glorify the devotees. So then, after hearing the glories of Haridas Thakur, everyone was completely amazed. And then at that time, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes what happened next. Haridasa nijagrete prabhure basaila nijaneta dui bringa mukha padme dila bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At that time, Haridas Thakur, he took a hold of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit down in front of him. And then, like his eyes were two bumblebees who just want some nectar from a flower, Haridas Thakur fixed his eyes on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Swaridaye ani dari la prabhu charan Sarva Bhakta Pada Renu Mashtaka Bhushan Bolo. Hare Krishna. And then at that time, Haridas Thakur, he took the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he put them on his chest. And then he took the dust from all the devotees who were present there. And he started rubbing that dust all over his head. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Shabda Bolaina Bada Bada Prabhur Mukha Madhur Piye Netra Jala Dada Bolo. Hare Krishna. And with the dust of Srup Damodar and Roy Ramananda and Vakeshwar Pandit and all the assembled Vaishnavas smeared all over his head, and with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet on his heart, Haridas Thakur was looking in his face and he began to repeat over and over again, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And then Haridas Thakur left his body. And all the devotees had begun crying. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up the body of Haridas, who was born in a Muslim family. And he began to dance and spin with the body of Haridas Thakur in his lap in great ecstasy. And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followed by all the devotees who were all chanting Hare Krishna and everyone was crying in ecstasy, they came here to the ocean. And he bathed the body of Haridas Thakur in this place. And then with his own hands, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to dig a hole in the sand. And all the devotees began to help him. And he took the body of Haridas Thakur and he put that body in the ground. And then one by one, all the devotees began to offer some flowers and put some sand in that hole. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said that anyone who takes bath in the ocean here, they'll get love of God. Highly recommended. Such a wonderful thing. So there's a very important lesson for all of us here in this classroom in this university of Braj Prem. There's one verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. It was maybe my Guru Maharaj's favorite verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat. I don't know. But he used to sing it quite often with us. I'll share that with you. Bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dana. Bhakti e Krishna nama smarana krandana bolo. Hare Krishna. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dana. Why are you so worried about getting money? About getting a new car? About getting a girlfriend? About getting this thing? And that? Bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is the real wealth. Okay, okay, all right. What is bhakti? Bhakti a Krishna nama. Bhakti is Krishna's name. But he adds two little points. Smarana Krandana. Not just that we're chanting Krishna's name and reading the newspaper while we're chanting our rounds or something, but it means smarana, remembering Krishna. And even then, there's another quality. Krandana, crying for Krishna. So this is the lesson that we have here in this classroom in the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem. Sometimes we may think that Krishna did a good job. He may go on before the deity and say, Krishna, I just want to congratulate you, shake your hand. You did a good job. I appreciate it. Sun rises every time, every day at the same time. It's never late. Sunset always goes on. The seasons always work just perfectly. Everything's working perfectly well. But please excuse me, there's just one small fault, or actually a big fault, in your creation. Don't mind me saying so. You've done a really good job. But there's one mistake that you made. And what is that mistake? We may think. The mistake is that Gurudev's older than me. And the happiness and the inspiration that I have right now, what am I going to have when Gurudev leaves this world before me? Because that's generally nature's law. That Gurudev, he's usually older than the disciple, not always, but usually. And after the disappearance of Gurudev, how am I going to survive? It's a very, very important subject matter. We all want to be with Gurudev. It's not that, as we were establishing in the Gambira a few days ago, it's not that we joined this movement because we like the architecture, or we like the buildings or the management or something, but we came here for persons. And especially we came here for Gurudev. And that's why we came on this yatra, isn't it? So what happens when Gurudev leaves this world? We may think, Krishna, you did a good job, but this one thing, it's a big mistake. But it's not a mistake. Jagadatma Prabhu, Prabhupada's disciple, had a very wonderful relationship with our revered spiritual master. Our Guru Maharaj treated him as a friend. And once Jagadatma, who he used to call him Gurudev sometimes also, he said, Guru Maharaj, you're always quoting this verse, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, bhakti yoga, dana, bhakti e Krishna nama, smarana krandana, that we should learn to cry for Krishna. That sounds really good. But it's just theoretical. And I don't know how to cry. How can we learn to cry for Krishna? And Guru Maharaj gave such a nice reply to him. He said, after I leave my body, then you'll understand. So this is a classroom here in Jagannath Puri Dham. Jagannath Puri Dham is Vipralamba Ketra, the place of separation. But we can say, in this place of separation, this is Dvigunita Vipralamba Ketra, twice as much separation at the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And we learn in this place how to cry for the Vaishnavas. It's a very, very important lesson. Because all of us have some inspiration from Gurudev. And all of us, everyone is concerned, what's going to happen after Gurudev leaves. We read this in the Lilamrita, Srila Prabhupada. Mukunda Maharaj, it was Mukunda Prabhu then, once went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, what are we going to do after you leave? And the devotees were thinking, naturally they have such great happiness, such ecstasy in the association with Prabhupada. You have so much strength of faith. You can ask him any question. He can resolve any difficulties, any quarrels amongst the devotees. You just go to him and he can solve the problem. So what's going to happen after you're gone? So we should make some adjustment. We'll make some management thing. We'll do this or that. Or they think, as Mukunda Maharaj suggested, Prabhupada, what are we going to do after you're gone? Should we go to get one of your god brothers and bring him? It's a natural way to think. But Prabhupada became very unhappy. And Prabhupada began to cry. He said, my spiritual master, he was no ordinary person. We can't replace our guru. And this is also a lesson here in this place. It's not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, okay, so Haridas is gone. We just buried him. Now who's the next Namacharya? Let's replace him. You can't replace Haridas Thakur. You can't replace Srila Prabhupada. You cannot replace Gurudev. Don't even think about it. For many years, we've been working off and on, mostly off the last few years, on a book we wanted to call Vivida Sishya Charita, the characteristics and qualities of different types of disciples. And we, based on some different things we've read from Bengali, of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, different acharyas, there's two broad divisions of disciples, the Bahiranga Sishyas and the Antaranga Sishyas, external disciples, internal disciples. The internal disciples are basically three, the Kanishtha, Madhyam, and Uttam. And the Bahirmukh Sishyas, the external disciples, there's a few different divisions also there. There's the Snehasilita, the Guru Giri, and the Vishayi, three basic divisions. Sneha means affection. And like all the other Bahirmukh Sishyas, their vision of Gurudev is Bhogya Darshan. They see that Gurudev is there for me to enjoy. I like being in Gurudev's kirtan. It's fun. And Gurudev pats me on the head and he praises me. It's so nice. I like being with Gurudev. He's pretty good. Because we're looking for that affection. And because the Bahirmukh Sishya is anartha yuktavasta, my grandmas would say, he has anarthas in the heart. And therefore his darshan of Gurudev, how he sees his Gurudev, is that Gurudev's purpose is to serve me. Because I'm the most important person. Gurudev is meant to give pleasure to me. Whereas the Antarmukh Sishyas, the internal disciples, they're anartha muktavasta. They're free to a greater or lesser extent of anarthas. And their darshan of Gurudev is Savya darshan. Gurudev is meant to be served. Gurudev didn't just come here to serve me. I'm meant to serve him. He's Sevaka Bhagavan. He's Bhagavan, the manifestation of God, who's meant to be served. But the Snehasilita, the disciple who's looking for affection from Gurudev, I get to ride in the car with Gurudev. I'm going to go traveling with Gurudev. And Gurudev pats me on the head and he gave me a present. He gave me this thing and that thing. He's a good guru because he pays attention to me. That disciple has a great crisis when Gurudev leaves this world. He doesn't want to say it. It's such a terrible thing to say. But in his heart, there's a little voice that he doesn't want to say this out loud. It's too terrible. But the little voice says, Gurudev is dead. And Gurudev now, he can't help me anymore. Once in Vrindavan, a few months ago, we were giving a Bhagavatam class. And we spoke something about the connection between the guru and the disciple. And someone came to me with an interesting question. They said, well, what do you do if your Gurudev, if you don't see him and he's so far away and you can't get association? And I didn't speak harshly to that person, but I told them as politely as I could, that's not an appropriate question. And I said, why did you take initiation from him? Do you think he's a material person? If you think association with your Gurudev is just based on physical association, then you think he's a mundane person. And why in the world did you ask for initiation from him if you think he's a mundane person? We should know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Gurudev's not dead. But if you think that he's dead, you're dead. And he uses the phrase, man mara bhav, you're brain dead. You think that Gurudev is a material person, and now that he's left his body, or now that he's in America and I'm in China, or something, I can't see him, I can't be with him. But there's no separation from Guru and the disciple. And Srila Prabhupada spoke about this so many times because it was a problem in ISKCON. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Krishnadas in 1968, 21st of October. To feel separation from the spiritual master or Krishna is a very good position. Separation is also meeting. He said, actually, in separation, one relishes the loving relationship in a more tasty way. So don't be disappointed that you're separated from me. I'm always thinking of you, how you're making progress there. And he wrote a beautiful letter to Brahmananda on the 3rd of April, 1969. These letters were very early. The devotees, they didn't. Prabhupada was all they had. And Prabhupada would leave to go to San Francisco or go to India. The devotees didn't know if they're ever going to see him again. Prabhupada wrote this letter to Brahmananda. Our meeting and separation in the material world is like the flowing tide of a river. During the flowing tide of the river, so many different floating articles meet together. And then, with the flowing, they again become separated by the movement of the waves. That is the way of material life. But our separation, although it resembles exactly this material separation, it's completely different. In other words, in spiritual life, there is no separation. Separation is eternal, and meeting is also eternal. Separation is simply another feature of meeting. So this is a lesson here. For the Sneha Silita Sishya, who's a Bahirmukh Sishya, an external disciple, after Gurudev leaves the world, he has a crisis. What am I going to do? Who's going to give me affection? And he tries to replace Gurudev with someone else or something else. He'll go to some other Vaishnav because he doesn't want to say it. But this is what they're thinking in their heart. Gurudev's dead. He's gone. And now I have to fill that hole with some other person. I remember I came here for the disappearance festival of one great saint. His name was Bhakti Pramod Puri Maharaj, one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. And his disciple, Bodayan Maharaj, who has somehow a lot of affection for me, saw me there and he called me to his room and he asked me, so how are things going in your sangha after your Guru Maharaj left? And I didn't know him so well at that time. I said, well, Maharaj, not so well. I didn't want to say very much because he's a Gaudiya Mutt devotee and I don't know, I don't want to get involved in any politics. I said, not so well. He said, what's wrong? I said, well, a lot of my god brothers, they left and they went to some other Vaishnav. And he became, Bodhaya Maharaj, when he heard that, he became very serious and he said, oh, did your Gurudev give them permission to do that? And again, I didn't want to say, I didn't know, are we going to say something wrong and commit some apparatus? Because I'm representing Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement. Huh? I was just invited to go to this disappearance festival. I'm not going there to take shelter of him or something, but there's some etiquette. I said, well, no, Guru Maharaj didn't say to go to anyone. And then he became very grave. And he told me, I always remember this, he said, please forgive me. He said, but I cannot say what will happen to them. He said, the Vaishnav they're going to may be a great Vaishnav, but if they haven't gotten permission from your Gurudev, then it's very bad. So this is the position of the Sneha Silita. They're looking for some attention, some affection from Gurudev. And when Gurudev's gone, they try to fill that up with some other Vaishnav or with a psychiatrist or with some other something to fill the hole. Then there's the Guru Giri. Huh? The Guru Giri is maybe even worse than the Sneha Silita. Giri means business. And he tries to make a business out of Gurudev. And maybe he wears a t-shirt with Gurudev's picture and has a badge with Gurudev and he says, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. And he advertises himself as a disciple of that great personality. Even though he's a boat budmash, big rascal, number one. How can I advertise myself as being a disciple? Disciple means discipline. If I have no discipline, how can I advertise myself as a disciple of Gurudev? He didn't tell me to represent him. But the Guru Giri, he sees very good. Now Gurudev's gone. And I didn't really want to. And of course, I'm not qualified, but somebody's got to do it. So I'll go ahead and take Gurudev's position. And I'll be Guru myself. And he does that for the purpose of getting some money and some fame. And then the third type of Bahirmukh Sishya is a Vishayi Sishya. He's a sense enjoyer. He can't control his senses. And Vaisheshika Prabhu spoke something about this the other day. Jeta Shadama Katasu Navina Sarva Karma Subedukatmakam Kamam Paritige Panishvara. He can't control his senses, Krishna tells Uddhava. What's the next verse after that? Tato Bhajeta Mam Prita. Shredalur Dhritanishchaya, Jusamanas Tatankaman, Dukadar Kanshtagarhayan. He said, what should you do? Just keep doing bhakti. But to Garhayan, Garhayan means you should repent. So there's two types of Vishayi Sishyas, the Anutap and the Niranutap. Anutap means that they lament, they're crying. Gurudev told me to control my senses. I made a promise, I made a vow before the deities. And I'm not doing it. And they lament, they cry in the heart. And that person, he's a Durachari Sadhu. Apichet Sudaracharo. There is hope for him. And Krishna says, very soon, that person, by their lamentation, by the fire of that lamentation, those bad things will go away. But there's another type of Vishayi Sishya. And he's the Niranutap. He doesn't lament. And maybe even thinks this is a good business. And maybe also a Guru Giri. That I can do all this nonsense things and nobody knows about it. And anyway, it doesn't matter because I have my hand in my bead bag. I'm making a show. And people are giving me some respect. So this is a very important lesson for all of us here at Haridas Thakur Samadhi. Because, as we say in America, it's a movie coming soon to you. It's something which is coming soon to all of us. And it's going to be a great, great test in our spiritual life. And we may think, I have no qualification for this test. But the expert teacher and the expert proper school, it's not that they give you a test that you can't benefit from. We should always understand that. It may seem like a very difficult test. There's a hard test coming up in school, so I just won't go to school today. And then what will happen? You stay back a grade. But if you go and you try very hard, and you manage to pass that test somehow or other, then you make some progress. So a wise person sees tests as a good thing and doesn't try to avoid them. And he's honest. And he says that I can't see Gurudev. I don't hear Gurudev's voice anymore. But that's not a bad thing. Because if I saw Gurudev always, if I could see his form before me all the time, then I would be very happy. And everything would be okay. And I wouldn't make any spiritual advancement. But when I don't see him, and I don't know where I'm going to go, I don't know how's the problem going to be solved, what's going to happen after Gurudev's gone, in that situation, I cry. And I cry. I don't know Krishna, but I know Gurudev. I can't cry for Krishna, but I can cry for Gurudev. And because Gurudev is a manifestation of Krishna, that crying for Gurudev and separation is Krishna's wonderful way to bring us into this Vipralamba Ketra, this place of separation, to bring us into his own associates, because Gurudev is one of Krishna's associates. I remember, I'll just finish with this, I was just mentioning last night to somebody, sometime back, my wife and I, we were here in Puri, and we got some terrible news that her father had cancer, and the news was that he could leave his body any minute. And so we went to the temple of Tota Gopinath, and we were praying, Gopinath, please bless him, please help him. And then suddenly the phone rang again, and it was bad news. Oh, he left this world. So later that day, we were supposed to go and see Srila Prabhupada's disciple, Birijan Prabhu. He was a very wonderful devotee. He was staying at Birla Guest House, just near where we're at. And so we went to see him, we knocked on the door, and Birijan Prabhu opened the door, and he just looked at us. And he said, what's wrong? Immediately. And we said, well, this thing happened. Her father just left his body. And Birijan said such a wonderful thing at that point. He told us, now is not the time for philosophy. Now is the time to cry. Philosophy can help us. It can make our minds convinced. But Gaurakishore Das Babaji, we don't know how much philosophy he knew. But he had bhav. He had some feeling. And ultimately, the philosophy is there to help make us convinced. But what we really want is some feeling in our heart. So not if, but when that terrible day comes, when we're separated from Vaishnavas that we love, don't try to just philosophize everything. But it's a time to cry. And in that crying, Prabhupada said, there's another kind of meeting with that Vaishnav. So we'll stop there. Srila Haridas Thakur ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gopremanandi Hari Hari Bo.
Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Litandena Tasmai Shigarve Namaha. So since we're in this spot and I have an opportunity to glorify Haridas Thakur, I'll say a couple of words for my own purification. When Haridas Thakur is doing his non-stop bhajan, that is chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 24 hours a day, as he was chanting 64 times 3, is that correct? 192 rounds a day. And he was because he was simply absorbed in chanting Hare Krishna, which is not something that an ordinary human being can do, the local magistrate where he lived in Benapul became envious of him, and he wanted to discredit him somehow. And Sayadev Prabhu mentioned earlier about how the false ego can give us this pinprick that someone is better than me. I would like to see them fall down so that I'm shown as better than that person. So this magistrate had this deep envy for Haridas Thakur, and he arranged in the city to send a prostitute there who would seduce him. And by that seduction, Haridas Thakur would then be exposed, and then this person felt, my anxiety will be relieved. So he asked the prostitute to go, and he was going to send another person there to hide and to record the whole activity, to be a witness, that is. But she said, give me a little time first, and then you can bring someone. So when she went there the first night, she found that he was chanting and chanting and chanting Hare Krishna. And she did her best to attract his mind. And Haridas Thakur said a very interesting thing, which is something that we can utilize, which is, I haven't finished my rounds, but when I do, then I will be fully available to you. Of course, she came back the next night because he told her that, I haven't finished my rounds yet. You'll have to come back tomorrow. I'll definitely finish tomorrow. And she came back the next night, and the same thing happened. He said, I still have to finish my rounds. I haven't finished my vow, but you wait right here. Soon I can finish. And the whole night went through without her realizing her duty, her dastardly business. And then the third night she came back again, but now she felt her heart changing, and she began chanting along with him, oh Hare Krishna. And then by the end of that night, she was so affected by the power of his chanting that she revealed to him, sobbing, what she had come there to do. And Haridas Thakur said, I know, I already knew that, but I wanted to give you a chance to hear the holy names and to become purified. And that prostitute ended up becoming his disciple, shaving her head, sitting down with a tulsi plant, and chanting 24 hours a day, just like her spiritual master. So the one very practical point is that there will be seductions from the material world that come to everyone. Because as Krishna explains in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when we're born into this world, our senses are embedded within the sense objects. And the sense objects are embedded within our mind. And there's this intimate relationship between the two. Therefore, it's very easily explained why one is so attracted to the material energy. However, when various temptations come, we can simply say we don't have time. When I finish my vow, then I will take care of you, my dear urge, whatever that may be. And we read recently, it was 2 years ago, I believe, when we were in Govardhan, Ananda Murari Prabhu will remember the specific passage, where Prabhupada mentioned that as one increases one's devotional practice, one comes to the point where one doesn't have time for anything else. Do you remember that? Incremental increase in one's service, and it comes to the point you don't have time for anything else, even for maintaining your own body. And then Krishna, Prabhupada said, is obligated to take care of the devotee. What to speak of not having time for the various urges of the senses or the various temptations, as it's a perfect excuse. I can't attend to you right now. I'm busy with my bhajan. But this is a recommended practice that one incrementally increase one's practice of devotional service to squeeze out all the other so-called obligations that one may have in this world until there's nothing left but the practice of devotional service. And Haridas Thakur stands as an emblem of how that's possible, that one following in his footsteps can become engaged in devotional service and therefore immune from the attraction of the material world. Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Go premanande. Nitai gora haribol, haribol, haribol. Nitai gora haribol. Bol, haribol, haribol. Nitai gora haribol. Vansha kalpatirvisha kripasanabhivacha patitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Let's thank Madhavananda Prabhu for that extraordinary katha here in this beautiful place. But a little more than that. And now we're not far away from... Yes. And we have an announcement. We'll be heading back to the ashram in just a few minutes, right after this message from our sponsor.
This Krishna Charandas, he very kindly some years ago gave me this rope, which is was used to tie up Lord Jagannath to the cart. It's a very difficult prasad to get. He very kindly gave us this. And they have so much different prasadam here. And they gave us this big pile of cloths. This is prasadam cloth from the flags of Jagannath. And I'm going to give this to Vaisheshika Prabhu. And I think later on, we don't have time now, but later on the devotees can all come and he can tie a piece of this around your wrist. So also they have a number of other things. I'm just mentioning something here because we should reciprocate if we can. They have a nice copy of Prema Vivarta by Jagadananda Pandit, whose place is across the street. And this is the only copy that I know of that has a Bengali transliteration and an English translation. And it's also present in Russian language. Ochin Harisho. And they also have some other different kavachas and special prasadam that came from the that was some things that were touching the Nabi Brahma or the life force of Jagannath when they changed his body. And if you'd like, you can get some of those things or some flags or something from them. But we'll walk back. We're just going to go out the door, right, and then we're going to make the first right and just go straight down to where we go left. And I think everybody should recognize the street by the time we get down there, and we'll go back to the hotel. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ke Gopremanande Hari Hari Bo.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.